Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Evan Brand. Thanks for joining me. I'm a board-certified holistic nutritionist, as well as an online functional medicine practitioner. I help people around the globe with various health issues that most doctors and even naturopaths can't help with. These are issues like mold toxicity, Bartonella, Babesia, Lyme, other co-infections, Epstein-Barr, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, anxiety, depression, fatigue problems, behavioral issues in children, spectrum issues in children, and many, many others. You can view the full list of conditions and symptoms that I may be able to help you with at my site, evanbrand.com. If you scroll down to the bottom, you'll see a link for conditions. I've been doing some interesting research and personal experimentation with nicotine patches specifically, and how it relates to clearing the virus, especially when it comes to long haul, out of the nicotinic acetylcholine receptors in the body. So hopefully I'll have a new podcast on that very soon. We're still doing some interesting things in the clinic here, but we're seeing amazing success in terms of people with chronic fatigue, chronic loss of smell and taste, major hair loss issues, and much, much more. So it's been a true fun thing to look at research, follow the research, and then implement that. And that's what I've done for a decade. I love helping people. This podcast is just an extension of the practice to help give you free functional medicine information that you can apply to help you, your clients, and your family. The Better Belly course, we have a new page where if you'd like to learn more about the curriculum and what I offer, that is my flagship course. For some reason, I don't know if it's marketing, maybe I shouldn't have called it Better Energy, but for some reason, my Better Energy course, which I think is incredible, we've had a lot less students enroll in that than Better Belly. I don't know if that means people have more digestive issues and when they think about energy, it's not as a top priority or what, or maybe I just marketed it wrong and I didn't describe correctly the impact of brain chemistry issues, mitochondrial issues, and how that plays into your overall energy and performance. So I do have that course available. It is open for enrollment. I would recommend you consider looking at it. Look at the curriculum of Better Energy as well. It's an incredible course. And then if you are a practitioner, if you're someone who either wants to start an online coaching business or practice, or maybe you already have an existing practice, many of those people in that Confident Coach program, those are people that have run yoga studios, run personal training gyms, run other fitness programs, nutrition programs in person, and then they're looking to bring that to the online space. With over 500 episodes and hundreds of other interviews I've done, and you know, a combined total of 25 million downloads across all the platforms, you know, I've learned a thing or two. And so I've shared all of that in my Confident Coach program. So if you are looking, maybe this is the time where you're thinking, okay, I'm ready to go online. Maybe I want more visibility of what you do, or maybe you want more mobility in what you do. That is a great option for you. And then of course, one-on-one consults are always available at my site, either myself or my team, my other practitioner on staff, we're happy to help. So that's all at evanbrand.com. Okay, we're going to get into the show now about hair. This is a big, important piece of women's health and women's vitality and their confidence. Now, of course, men face issues as well here, but even since the virus, we've seen a massive, massive impact on female hormones, endocrine disruption, fertility problems, hormone disruption, and of course, that's worsened by mold. So we'll get more into that into the interview. So without further ado, here we go. Oh, last thing, sorry. You're like, man, I'm going to fast forward. Don't. 1 second. Okay. At AuraRoots.com, this is my professional supplement line. We just came out with some new products this week that I'm thrilled about. And if you use the coupon code VIPSHIP, you will get free shipping on those. I would love for you to try out the Alpha Tonic for Men. This is a men's adaptogenic herb formula. It will definitely help in regards to sexual function, drive, overall energy, etc. It's incredible. I've been on it now for probably a year, maybe year and a half. It's done incredible things. We've seen massive swings in the positive direction with hormonal health and low testosterone symptoms in males. So that's that. And then ladies, I did not forget about you. Passion for Her is a female tonic. This is a professional formula designed to help balance and regulate your hormones. This is for menstruating females. This is for perimenopausal and menopausal women. So whether it's vaginal dryness, pain during intercourse, issues with low sex drive, dead sex drive, poor energy, poor motivation, a terrible response to stress. Maybe you're irritable, you're anxious, you have no sex drive, you're also tired. You know, those all add up. And that affects, of course, you, your personal life, your marriage, your relationships in your business, in your work. So I would encourage you to check out The Passion for Her. I think you will absolutely love it. So check those two things out. And then The Binder, Detox Pro. Incredible binder. I've taken GI detox, which you've heard me talk about for years. You've seen that in the course for all my students. You've seen that in the clinical protocols. However, we wanted to take GI detox and make it a little better. And that's what we've done. And we've beat the price. So that's Detox Pro. That is my full spectrum mycotoxin binder. Incredible for mold, Lyme co-infections, SIBO, SIFO, Candida, whatever you're battling, whatever you're tackling, the binder can be an incredible tool. So check those products out. VIP ship, you can get free shipping on those. Let me know what you think. Would love to have your feedback. Also, the Kids Multi, that's a brand new product as well. Two flavors of that, no sugar. Hope you check it out. All right, here we go. Thanks so much for listening.
Welcome everybody to the summit. Healthy body, healthy hair, the truth about hair loss. I'm your host, Julie Olson. There's a huge connection between digestive health and hair growth and loss. And who better to explore this important gut health connection than Evan Brand? Hi, Evan. I'm so thrilled to have you here.
Hey, Julie. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, when you were going through your health struggles, did you struggle with any hair loss?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting you say that because when I look back, when I first got sick with mold and I also had gut infections, I noticed my hair was pretty thin. Like I would go, which I'm not a guy who obsesses about hair in general, but when I would go to get a haircut, I'd feel like, God, I feel like there's nothing left after I'd get a haircut. So I don't know if I was losing it and I wasn't paying attention, because for a woman, it's easy, right? You see the big clump of hair in the shower, it's pretty easy to identify. But for a male, I think maybe it was washing down. So I would say, I don't know, but what I'll say is it felt thin for a while. And now it feels much thicker. My wife says it feels like a carpet, which it did when we first started dating. So I would assume that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Now, can you explain how a functional medicine approach can help identify and address the root causes of hair loss linked to gut issues such as parasites, candida, gut infections, nutrient deficiencies, and so forth?
Sure. Yeah, let's unpack it. So first things first, I think we should talk about nutrient deficiency. So first of all, the soil, incredibly nutrient deficient compared to just 100 years ago. In fact, even our own USDA in America studied the nutrient levels in food. And for example, an orange from the 1920s versus an orange today, you would have to eat almost 10 oranges to get the nutrient level of one orange back in the 1920s. So your parents, grandparents, et cetera, all of us, they were born with a much more nutrient-rich soil to start with. And so even if you're buying organic today at Whole Foods or Costco or whatever, even if it's organic, that just means that it wasn't sprayed with toxic chemicals, which damage the gut and could ultimately lead to nutrient deficiencies and hair loss. That just means they didn't spray chemicals, but that doesn't mean that it's full of nutrients just because it's organic. So I want to point that distinction out, that organic does not mean nutrient dense. There's no certification for nutrient density. So when you look at those organic strawberries at Whole Foods and you buy them for $5-6 a box, the strawberries from 50 years ago even were twice as nutrient rich. So that's a big problem. And this is why I do encourage people, if you can get a hold of a local organic farmer where they have more eyes and ears on the soil, these guys focus more on nutrient density, regenerative methods that put more nutrients back in, as opposed to just some mega organic farm where it's just a monoculture of strawberries, for example. You know, if you're getting it from your backyard farmer, my God, those are some delicious strawberries. I don't have any studies on those, but I would assume the backyard ones where these guys are doing composting and doing other things to make the soil better, those are going to be better for you. And when you look at nutrient levels on testing, this is evident. This is not just in the soil. This is showing up in the human body. I'm in the top 10 worldwide of practitioners running the most organic acids testing. Organic acid is a dried, it's a fasted urine sample. So you wake up, pee in the cup, you get that back to the lab. There's several companies that do these. And you can measure glutathione. You can measure B vitamins, vitamin C. You can measure biotin, which I'm sure a million people are going to beat the drum on biotin during this event. But you can measure these nutrient levels in the urine. And I would say 90% of people have suboptimal levels. This doesn't mean they're totally toast. In many cases, they are. But this means that on this bar, it's like a bar graph that you can look at of people where they're in a range. No one is where they should be. Everyone's on the low side. So B vitamins, vitamin C, we just go down the list. Everyone's nutrient deficient. And keep in mind, these are people that have already been to 5, 10, 20 people before they get to me. In terms of doctors, practitioners, they've already been to all the experts before they call me. So the low-hanging fruit has already been addressed is what I'm telling you. Meaning these people have likely already done digestive enzymes. They've done multivitamins, professional supplements, likely before they get to me. And they're still looking that bad on paper. So we really are in a nutrient apocalypse. And this is a real problem. So I think a lot of people ask me the question clinically, well, how long do I have to take supplements? And then I answer that with a question, which is, well, do you want to survive or do you want to thrive? And everyone says, well, of course, I want to thrive. And I say, okay, well, based on my learning by running thousands of these, everyone's nutrient deficient, the soil's nutrient deficient. And by the way, on your stool test, which is another important piece, we also found you have these parasites, this gut inflammation. You have H. pylori, which is a bacteria that's reducing stomach acid. That's affecting nutrient absorption. So you have to supplement if you really want to be optimal. And I've taken people that are so strict, so clean with their diet, and even those people are still low in certain things. So this does not discriminate, this nutrient deficiency. It doesn't discriminate at all. It can affect everyone equally. And one of those manifestations could be hair loss. So that's the roundabout way to get to your question and your topic here. But hair loss is really just an indicator. It's a clue. And usually when the hair loss is there, there's something else happening as well. There could be skin issues like keratosis pilaris on the back of the arms, these little bumps on the back of the tricep. That's pretty common related to nutrient deficiencies like fatty acids. You may also see issues with your nails. So if you have issues with your hair, you're probably going to have issues with your fingernails. You could have weak or brittle fingernails. You could have vertical ridges. So people can look down at their fingernails now and study those nails. If you've got vertical ridging, if you have white spots on your nails, if you have any sort of indention in your nails, just something that doesn't look like a healthy nail, or let's say you go to open a can, you know, like a little can of soda, hopefully it's like an organic soda or something, not Coca-Cola. But when you go to crack open that pop top, I mean, if your fingernail feels like it's going to break or you literally don't have the nail strength, that would clue us in that, hey, there could be something with the hair too. So when I'm doing a workup on someone, if a woman says hair loss is one of her main complaints, I'm doing urine, the organic acids that I told you about. We're going to look at the stool. That's a DNA stool test that we do at home to look for gut infections. And then there's also chemical toxins that we can measure too. So there may be a combination of three or four tests that I would consider as a quote functional medicine workup to address hair loss and investigate this. And then, as you know, blood work would be helpful too. I'll tell you, honestly, I don't run a ton of blood work in the beginning with the client because blood work is really showing the downstream effect of what's going wrong upstream. So let me say that in a different way. You're seeing anemia on the blood, and we could say, okay, low ferritin. Ferritin is an iron storage protein, low iron in general. This may affect hair, energy. Women may have anxiety. They may feel short of breath. So we'll see that manifestation on the blood work. But if I see low ferritin or low iron, I might not necessarily just want to go in and supplement iron. I want to look upstream. Why is the iron deficient? Why is this anemia problem there? Oh, we see all these parasites. They went on a trip to Mexico and got food poisoning and they've never been the same. Okay, that's upstream. So if we fix that on the functional lab, the blood work downstream will end up looking better. So I'm happy to run blood. I do run blood, but it's not something that I would consider mandatory. If your situation's bad enough to be watching this event, though, maybe you should do a good functional medicine workup via blood. And that means going far beyond the standard biomarkers that your doctor's going to run on the blood. So that would include a full thyroid panel, thyroid antibodies like TPO, TSI, TG, which are thyroglobulin antibodies. You can run all your nutrients via blood. Some argue about the accuracy, urine versus blood. If you're sick and need help, might as well do both. And then, of course, we're going to run that full iron panel too. So we will look at ferritin as an indicator. And if ferritin is below, I'd say below 50, maybe even below 60, We need to work on that with females. And of course, menstruating females, this is going to be a much bigger problem, especially if there's clotting or heavy bleeding or long periods. These females are going to have a lot more issue. So now, once again, we're working upstream because now we're thinking, okay, well, what functional issue has led to the hormonal imbalance that's now causing excessive bleeding, excessive cramping, PMS? There's irritability along with this hair loss. Now they're pissed off and they're losing their hair. That's a bad combination. So now we're back to the gut again. Okay, there's infections here. There's things that could be like mold toxin, mycotoxins. If someone has been living or working in a moldy building, for example, mold toxin is highly estrogenic. So if you've been working in an office that had a water leak and you got exposed to these mycotoxins, those mycotoxins could be highly estrogenic. Those estrogen-like compounds could push you into estrogen dominance, which may cause issues with hair, skin, nails, female hormone imbalances, infertility. So we could see that issue on the blood, but once again, you got to get back to the functional causes of it by looking at the urine to look for the mold toxin. So I know I'm throwing a lot at you. I'm just wanting to unpack how I approach this. When I see a case, we're looking over here, we're looking over there, and then we have to tie all these puzzle pieces together. There's no magic bullet. Like someone may sell you on this particular growth hormone or this or that, but really we get our wins by combining small wins. So 20% improvement by treating parasites, 20% improvement by treating bacterial infections, 10 to 20% by increasing the digestive capacity by adding extra enzymes and acids. I sell grass-fed beef organs. So we'll often throw in organ meats, liver and heart, and some of these other more obscure meats that add nutrient density to the diet. And then we may do like some mineral micronutrient supplementation. But that's really how you complete the puzzle of hair loss and get someone back to where they need to be.
Sure, absolutely. You brought up some really good points. And I'm just start at the beginning. It's interesting because my grandmother lived to 104 on no medications. And the only reason she's gone is because she stopped eating. But she ate farm fresh vegetables. She ate wild game. She loved to cook. And just case in point, you know, people, they can grow a garden. I mean, there's really no excuse. And so that's the first thing. And then, yeah, I love those tests. I run the same tests. And also, I like how they show that somebody's not absorbing, say, protein or their healthy fats. So that brings it at a different level, because I get a lot of women who seem to be eating really well. But once you start digging into these functional labs, you're like, oh, well, no wonder they can't grow their hair. They're not even absorbing their protein. And then you can look at the methylation pathways too. Are they detoxing properly? Which then gets into our B vitamins and hormones. And so can you take that a step further?
Yeah. Well, B vitamins, I've looked at blood and then I've looked at the organic acid. I could be wrong, but I think the urine almost might be more accurate because it's measuring the metabolites of it, kind of these breakdown products of your vitamins. So I really don't run those blood panels for nutrient levels anymore, but I would say across the board, this is something that almost every hair, skin, and nail supplement out there is going to contain. So I think if you're starting at a baseline, as long as you have some broad spectrum coverage there, where maybe you have extra magnesium, extra vitamin C, a full B complex, we may add biotin, we may add N-acetylcysteine. And then there's a couple of other unique formulas, like you'll see olive leaf can be added, you'll see bamboo extract, you'll see these other sources like horsetail, which contains silica. So there's some other cool plants that you can add in as an extract form for the hair. Now, can you just take a hair supplement and get yourself fixed? I don't think so. I agree with you about the methylation. I don't go too deep into methylation, meaning I'm not like studying the genetics of it. I've looked at genetic SNPs and this or that. And I think like MTHFR genetic defect, you know, sure, it can play into your situation, but I'm not going to solely isolate that and say, this is your cause. I'll likely just throw in some methylated B vitamins and call it a day. So you may get geekier than I do. I'm not sure how geeky you get into that, but I just glance at it and like, sure, it's a piece of the puzzle, fine. And we'll throw in something methylated to support that pathway.
Yeah. And also, like you mentioned, the mold, the toxins, it really shows up initially on that organic acids, but and then, you know, doing a mycotox test, but I've seen a ton of that.
It's epidemic. Yeah. Almost everyone has mold toxin. It's kind of crazy. And this is kind of the hidden epidemic, really, because there's not many people looking at this. And so all of us at some point have likely lived or worked or potentially went to college, stayed in a dorm. Our kids have done the same, potentially. Mold toxin is also passed through the placenta and through breast milk. So there's even this multi-generational transfer of toxins happening from mom to baby. So I'm fortunate that I work with a lot of kids too. I've even seen cases, like pediatric cases, where kids are having issues with not only their gut, their skin, but also their nails and their hair. You know, 5 and 6 year olds that are complaining about this, you know, and the parents are worried about it. That's kind of freaky. And we test these kids and they all have some level of toxicity, either chemicals, heavy metals, pesticides, then the mold. You know, it's a really big piece of the puzzle. So I would assume that if you haven't already looked here, you should turn that rock over. And that's easy to do because most of these labs now, they can run a combo test, meaning they can run the urine through the organic acid profile, and then they can run the mycotoxin screen at the same time. So you pay a little more money, but one urine sample can generate 2 reports. And with that report, if your practitioner is educated on this, they should be able to help you come up with an appropriate plan to where you may use binders, you may use glutathione to push and mobilize the mold toxin. Then you use binders to grab onto it and pull it out through the system. And there's other things we do too. I'm kind of oversimplifying a little bit, but the reality is this could be the smoking gun. Here's why. Mold is an immune suppressant. This is the best analogy I've come up with so far. Mold is the bad guy at the back of the nightclub. He lets all the scrubs in. So he opens up the door. So you have strep, you have staph, you have candida, you have parasites, worms, H. pylori. These are all called opportunistic infections. The opportunity arises for them to move in and take you over, take you down when you're at your weakest point. And if you've been living, working, breathing in mold, you've had water leak in your basement, you had a roof leak, et cetera. This is easy, folks. Like, this is not a rare situation. This happens all the time. Even in my house, brand new construction, we had an issue. So it happens to all of us. And when you breathe in those mycotoxins, they get stored in the fat cells. They can cross the blood-brain barrier because mycotoxins are 50 times smaller than a mold spore. So these are tiny, tiny toxins, okay? I mean, this is like an invisible battle that you're fighting. So when mold weakens you and it lets all these opportunistic infections in, if you go to the SIBO doctor or the SIBO expert, they may be coming and treating your gut, whether that's rifaximin or conventional antibiotics of any kind. Maybe they're doing Diflucan for the candida. Or you go to a natural person like me, more functional person, and they may give you natural ones. So natural antibiotics, natural antifungals, right? Oregano, clove, berberine, barberry, grapefruit, seed extract, magnesium caprylate, monolaurin. There's a million different things we use in the clinic to treat these bugs. But guess what? And I found this by failing. That's the best way to learn, is to fail. And I would see these cases where 2 to 3 months in, everybody's like, I'm really happy. My gut's way better. Skin's better. Hair's better. And then more time passes and they go, wait a second, I'm going backwards. So all those people that had these recurring, because I was the gut guy for, you know, basically a decade. And then all of a sudden these cases started to get more complex. And I thought, well, why are these gut infections returning? We're treating the gut to increase nutrient absorption, right? We're trying to kill bugs. We're increasing acid and enzymes. But then now we're getting stuck. We're spinning our wheels. And then I started testing all these people for mold. And I go, oh, crap. They all have mold. So now we're finding that we play whack-a-mole on the front end. We're knocking these bugs down to improve digestion, improve nutrient density. But we have to get that mold out the back door. So that's really the 1-2 punch that I think it takes to resolve this issue. Now, if you're one of the few lucky people and genetically you're detoxing mold well, your test comes clear, you're not showing any colonization, meaning you're not growing mold. That can happen too. Well, good. Maybe it's as simple as fixing the gut bugs. But I'm finding for the majority of people, the gut bugs are there because of something that let them in. So a dental procedure, you had antibiotics after a dental cleaning, something like that, right? So there's usually a linchpin, so to speak, that allows this to happen. So people just need to do a good history on themselves. And then hopefully your practitioner does a good history on you, a good timeline. Like, okay, when did the hair become an issue? Oh, it was at my last house. Okay, what happened at your last house? Anything? Oh yeah, we had a leak in our basement. Interesting. How long did you live there and how long did it take to fix the leak? Oh, well, my husband fixed it. He put a fan down there and we dried it up. It was fine. Oh, yeah. And you said you also gained 30 pounds when you were living in that house too, right? Because we know mold can affect thyroid function because of the nutrient absorption, the immune suppression. So now we tie in the thyroid piece, the weight gain piece. You see how this all fits together?
Right. And it's interesting. Some people in a moldy household, you know, some family members are fine. And then some just have a major problem, like you were saying. And so what do you typically do to build up somebody's immune system besides, you know, getting their gut health optimal so that they can fend off the mold, the parasites, the candida, and so forth?
Yeah. Well, some of it just happens naturally as a byproduct of you removing the toxin, right?
Sure.
I mean, if you want your foot to stop hurting, get the nail out of your foot. So sometimes it's that simple, and you'll see that on paper, right? When we do the stool test, there's a marker on the bottom that is called secretory IgA. This is somewhat of a first line defense indicator of immunity. And we'll often see that number very, very chronically low in people that have mold and gut infections. So we'll see that number rise on its own, even without me coming in and giving specific immune support. However, the probiotics that we use to help work on glucuronidation, we might use calcium deglucarate to help with getting mold toxin out, getting excess estrogens out. I'm likely using some micronized chlorella to help detox chemicals, metals, pesticides, mold toxin. We're using charcoal and clay and other binders to grab onto the mold. I told you we may be using any number of herbal antimicrobials and antifungals to kill those gut bugs. And the cool thing about plants and these sort of medicinal mushroom type blends that we're using, it's generally herbs and mushrooms. The cool thing is they have a dual purpose. So they may be killing a pathogen or detoxing something, but they also may be boosting the natural immunity as well. Now we may throw in specific things like astragalus or cryptolepis, Japanese knotweed. There's other things that I bring in that I may be using for Lyme disease or Bartonella or Babesia. These are other tick-borne infections that can suppress the immune system and lead to digestive problems, hair loss, many other issues. You know, those herbs that we kill those infections with also have some immune supportive properties too, like cordyceps mushroom. That's pretty beneficial. Reishi, or some pronounce it reishi, but I call it reishi mushroom. That can be helpful. You've got, of course, vitamin C. I mean, that's a potent immune support. So we're usually using a couple grams of vitamin C per day because most people are chronically low when they have some sort of toxin. They're going to show low on that oat test. And some of it is treating the home. So if there is an issue in the home, I have a whole line of products called Oasis. So we have candles that you can burn to denature mold. It's like an essential oil blend where you can eat the mold and candida spores out of the air. So sometimes we're working on the home and the body at the same time. And then also making sure you're treating the sinuses too, because if there's any chronic infection in the sinuses, that's how you got exposed to mold in the first place. You were breathing. It's that simple. So people talk about moldy coffee, moldy chocolate, moldy nuts and seeds and grains. Sure, that's important. But in general, we feel that that is meaning me and the lab and the other clinicians I've talked with about this. We all feel that the food is probably a 10% of the puzzle, meaning your total toxicity load of mold. 10% could be dietary. 90% is likely inhalation. Because you're breathing like an average of 20,000 breaths a day versus eating, maybe you're eating what, 2 to 5 times a day? So there's much more chance for that continual hit, toxin, toxin, toxin every time you breathe. And what'll happen is you can start to become colonized where you're growing the mold in your sinus cavity. That will keep you sick. That's a chronic infection that must be treated. So usually we're using herbal antifungals up the nose. Because if you don't fix that and you just treat the gut, you're likely not going to get yourself out of this. You got to do both sinuses and gut. Even if you don't have sinus symptoms. I did not have sinus symptoms, but when I started spraying stuff up my nose, my head began to get more clear, indicating there was likely something there.
Well, sounds like you spend a lot of time on the remove phase, as I do as well. I think it's the most important phase. You can't just throw supplements on somebody without removing the toxins first. Yeah. And after you get through some of these phases, on average, how long does it take for somebody to, in this instance, grow back their hair?
I would say realistically 6 months to a year.
Sure.
You know, what'll happen is I'll do the initial call. Usually I like to have labs in hand by the first appointment with my clients because the first hour is better bang for their buck. If we can do the intake, we could look at history, review labs, and make a protocol in the same visit. So I try to have an action-packed hour, and then I'll do a follow-up 2 to 3 months later, another follow-up, another 2 to 3 months later. Usually by that second follow-up, so we could be, I don't know, 6 to 8 months in, the woman typically says, hey, I went to my hairdresser. And all of a sudden, they're seeing all this new stuff, these new baby hairs growing in. We're onto something. I'm like, cool, let's keep it going. And then maybe we retest, we reevaluate, we tweak the protocol a bit. But usually it's the hairdressers that give the praise because the women may not be tracking the back so much. You know, they can't see it or maybe they can't feel it. So the hairdressers are usually our boots on the ground that let us know how we're doing.
Well, besides hair loss, what are some other potential long-term complications that arise if you don't address these issues?
Cancer is the biggest one. Mycotoxins are highly carcinogenic. So when I deal with primarily women who say, hey, my hair is thin or I'm losing hair and I want to lose 20 pounds. It's like, I kind of get turned off by that and I will redirect their wants into their needs. So let me explain. So, you know, Sally comes in, hey, I want to lose 20 pounds, Evan, and my hair's kind of thin. I'm like, okay, so you're telling me there's some nutrient issues, there's some kind of malabsorption, a potential digestive piece. And then I probe them. And then you find out not only is it about the hair and the weight, it's they have low self-esteem, they have anxiety, they have depression, they have chronic fatigue, their sleep is not very refreshing, they have zero sex drive, so their husband's ready to leave them. And it's just this big mess that you unpack. So on the surface, it's like hair and weight. And I'm like, oh, how boring. Let me tell you about something far more important than your hair and your weight, which is I don't want you to get cancer. And all these mycotoxins you have in you could cause liver cancer. And then you're really screwed. And then if you go through chemo, you're really going to lose your hair. And then you're really going to be mad. So I try to redirect them. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying hair loss isn't important. I'm not downplaying their issue at all. I'm just saying, look, let me show you that this is really just the tip of the iceberg. And underneath, it is the mood. It's the fatigue. It's the issues with they can't exercise because they're so exhausted. Every time they try to work out, they're sore for 2 or 3 or 4 days trying to recover. So they're trying to better their health in other ways and they can't make progress. That hair loss is just an indicator that something's not right. And then you'll often see that there's marital stress here too. So I try to save marriages too. I mean, I've saved many actually because what'll happen is I come in and say, hey, look at this problem and that problem. And the husband says, oh, I don't believe that. I'm fine. Why are you sick, honey? Like you're just crazy. You need a therapist or something. You know, this mold, this little mold in the basement, that didn't do that to you, honey. That's not the reason you're losing hair. You're losing hair because you're getting old or whatever the heck they come up with, right? And so then I try to get the husband on the call too and say, look, man, like this is why. If you make it about sex, I'm sorry, this is just a blunt truth. Hey, the reason your wife doesn't ever want to have sex with you, she has zero sex drive. You know that? When you try to come on to her and she shuts you down every time. Yeah, it's because she has mold. It's affecting her hormones. It's affecting her blood flow. So her libido is crashed out because you're ignoring the mold in the basement. Well, I'll get right on it. So then they get motivated, right? Us hedonistic creatures. So I think it's important for the couples to have these blunt conversations with each other about what's going wrong and how the environment could be shaping that. Because when you make it about the environment in the house as a contributing factor, usually they're more willing to fix it. But if it's just about, hey, this random guy on the internet told me to take this pill, usually that creates more drama in the relationship. So I try to bring everybody together. Sometimes I've got the daughter, the mom, the grandma all on a three-way call. And I'm kind of the director of the family here. Like, hey guys, we've really got to fix grandma's house because, you know, daughter's staying over there all summer when she's out of school and then she gets sick from it. So I kind of help manage the family dynamic in some cases too. It's a pretty unique job.
Yeah, I like how you connect the dots. And I do the same thing. I try to have all the family in on all the calls because even something as little as getting off gluten. But if someone else in the family's eating it, there's a cross-contamination and you're never going to resolve it. But if you explain it to everybody, then there's just a higher success rate.
Yeah, we should talk about the nutrition piece for a little
while. Okay, let's do it.
Well, obviously we covered the nutritional deficiency part, right? And we kind of glazed over it, but just to recap, digestive infections are very common. So this is an imbalance of good bacteria and bad bacteria. Good bacteria help make B vitamins, for example. So if you have enough beneficial microbes, enough good guys in your gut, you should be making your nutrients and vitamins literally internally. It's amazing. Our body can literally be a vitamin factory if the digestive system is optimized and working properly. However, because of antibiotics in the food supply, antibiotics from who knows what, C-section, dental cleaning, et cetera. I mean, everybody at some point's taking antibiotics that can throw off the diversity in the gut. And then all of a sudden you're not making those vitamins as much. Now you compound that with a dysbiotic flora, meaning you now have strep, staph, morganella, pseudomonas, klebsiella, citrobacter, prevotella, all these other bacteria that can move in. They then steal nutrients from you. So even if you're taking digestive support, if you're getting robbed by these infections, they're further the nutrient deficiency. They're furthering that problem, therefore leading to the hair loss, the skin issues, the sleep, okay? And so now we layer in the toxins, the chemicals, the pesticides, the mold, and then we go to the nutrition piece and the lady has a bagel with cream cheese on it for breakfast. It's like, that's not going to cut it. Vegetarians and vegans, I've seen, have a lot of issues with hair. I would like to know your clinical observation on this too.
Absolutely. I don't believe they get the essential, well, they don't get the branched chain amino acids that are so necessary for hair growth.
Now, I have some friends that I try to convert them and convince them that they probably would benefit from some grass-fed beef organs or maybe some pastured eggs, but you know, sometimes you have these almost cultish, straight vegans that you you just can't convince them. And if you are a vegan watching this, don't just get mad at me because this gets like a religion when you start talking nutrition like this. So don't turn this off just because you don't like what I'm saying. But I'm just going to tell you what I've seen clinically. I have no dog in the fight or whatever that saying is, besides helping you get better. And what I found is on paper, after testing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of vegetarian vegans, many of them are ex-vegetarians and vegans now because they have started to reintroduce fish or eggs or some sort of animal protein, my grass-fed organ capsules. They don't even know what it is. They're just taking the capsules and they're getting better. Then we look at the retest and their levels have come up. So are there some, you know, sexy vegans out there with beautiful hair? Probably so. Somehow they're doing good. They're supplementing the right way and they can get away with it. But just as a general rule, I find that it's a little more difficult to get the progress at the rate of speed that someone that has some animal-based or like fish products in the diet does. And so I'd say that on the gluten piece, you brought up gluten. I would agree. I would say that I don't think it's going to serve you. I would advise people not to do gluten. Even if someone doesn't have celiac disease, and they quote, feel fine when they eat gluten. Well, the reality is gluten contains various proteins, which can affect the permeability of the gut. So in particular, there is a protein called zonulin with a Z like zebra. And when you eat gluten and likely other cross-reactive foods too, so potato, chocolate, there's several other, if you type in gluten cross-reactivity, you can read a list of this. There's a bunch. Don't starve to death. Don't freak out. Just talk with your practitioner about this. Some people need to be more strict than others, but in general, gluten itself will then elevate zonulin, and zonulin is like a zipper. So when zonulin levels are high, it'll literally unzip those tight junctions in your gut barrier. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means now that nutrient absorption is poor because these tight junctions have become permeable and your absorption is not happening anymore. It's like you've opened the gates to now these gluten molecules are now getting into the bloodstream, which can then trigger an inflammatory response in the body. You can measure this on the stool test. There's a marker called calprotectin. So if we see high gut inflammation on the stool test, if we test zonulin, I usually don't because it's an extra cost, but if we see that, we see low secretory IgA, we see high fecal fat, meaning they're not digesting their fats well. We see low elastase, which is a pancreatic enzyme. We kind of tie all those together and we blame the gluten. And we say, look, this is why you really got to cut it out. I'm not the bad guy. I'm just the messenger boy. Don't kill the messenger boy. And, you know, sometimes This goes as far as the mother getting gluten out of the house completely because maybe she has children or teenagers and she's making food for them. So she doesn't eat it herself, but now she's making sandwiches for her children. Just topical contamination can happen through the skin. How do we do bioidentical hormones? In many cases, it's on the skin, right? So your skin can be absorbing the gluten molecule. We had one woman out of Colorado who she had major hair loss. She had fatigue. She had all sorts of digestive complaints, anxiety, depression. She was off gluten, but when we looked at her labs, it looked like she was eating it like crazy. Turns out it was just her making sandwiches for the kids for school. So we said, well, at least switch the kids to gluten-free bread. It's still processed. I don't recommend it. I recommend you cut bread out completely, but if you can't budge on that, at least go gluten-free. So then we retested. The antibody levels went down. Inflammation went down. Symptoms began to improve. So sometimes you got to get that geeky. She's like, well, can I wear gloves? And I'm like, I wouldn't. Just get it out of the house. It's too easy to switch.
I agree with you so much. I mean, it's inflammatory to anybody. So getting her kids off gluten is going to help her kids as well and her entire family. And I've been off gluten since 2003 when I had major hair loss before I got into this industry. That was part of the puzzle. I didn't realize I had such a problem with gluten. I became anemic and it was literally falling out in handfuls. I mean, there are I was a hot mess, but
yeah, was there
definitely gluten played a role. And just in general, it's inflammatory for anybody, especially that unlocks the key to the leaky gut. So
you had gut infections too?
Oh yeah. I had H. pylori, celiac. I had what else? Epstein-Barr virus.
And H. pylori is super contagious too. So that's another thing we haven't mentioned. I've kind of alluded to it, but that will get the whole family involved, meaning the spouse too. So H. pylori, just the H. pylori 101, it's a very contagious bacteria. About 51% of the world population has it, but it's when it becomes too high, it's opportunistic, like we talked about with the mold. When this H. pylori level grows too high, it starts to damage what are called the parietal cells. And the parietal cells are what secrete stomach acid. I have a little dummy in the closet I could have whipped out and we could open up his stomach, but the parietal cells become damaged. So now you're not making as much stomach acid. Now this can be very easily passed between couples. So, and this doesn't have to be just intimate, like the kissing, obviously sharing cups, sharing spoons, sharing your water bottles with your children. You know, if you're sucking from a straw, you give it to your kids. My daughter, my oldest, when she was two, she tested positive for H. pylori. We had some digestive issues we were working on with her at the time. So I work with a ton of pediatrics too in H. pylori. And it's many cases like that. Hey, mommy, I need a drink of water. And then you could easily pass it to your children. So sometimes we may be testing multiple family members to try to get to the bottom of this, because if we just fix the wife and she's not fully better, it could be that the husband is the vector and he's reinfecting her. So in some people, it's commensal, meaning this bacteria causes no problem. But when it's grown too high, then it starts to affect the digestive health. H. pylori has also been linked to gastric ulcers, esophageal cancer, gastric cancer, and many other issues. So when you asked me earlier, you know, what are the long-term issues of this? Well, cancer is a big one, but obviously it's the mood stuff. It's the fatigue and all of that that kind of leads up to that.
Right. And also parasites to be passed among family members too.
Yeah. Parasites can be contagious. I forget the little, why am I forgetting it? The little guys that come out of the butt. It's nasty. What's it called? You got to take the parental for it. I got to look it up. That's going to drive me crazy because that's super.
And just let me mention too that Dr. Tom O'Brien's on the summit and he showed before and after pictures of a man that had a huge bald spot with H. pylori. And then after he got rid of his H. pylori, he shows the progression. He a full head of hair.
I believe it's really it. Oh, it's nice pinworms. Visual. That's what I was thinking of. Pinworms. Pinworms. Okay. So when your kids are little, you could do the tape test. You put a little piece of tape on their anus and you'll see these tiny little pinworms. So pinworms are treated with parental. Parental is like a worm medication. It's a class of drugs that treats worm. It's like a dewormer. They use it a lot in horses, but they can also use it on humans. And so I see a lot of children that have pinworms also. And we believe that could be a big factor. Roundworm, also hookworm. Those other worms, especially kids that grow up on a farm or they're out like in the dirt, you know, raising chickens, that kind of stuff. It's amazing. They should do it. But, you know, those pinworm eggs, you know, if they scratch their butt, you could get that under the fingernails. And yeah, it's a mess.
Absolutely. And let's touch upon the COVID shed just a little bit, because 66% of the people that were infected with COVID are experiencing hair shedding, which is a little bit different than hair loss or hair thinning, but it's a huge complaint. They're terming it chronic telogen effluvium, which you can grow back. It's more of a stress-induced type of hair loss. But what are you seeing in your patients in that regard?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And I thought you meant shedding as in the whole injection shedding. That's a whole nother can of worms. But we'll stick it to the viral piece, you know, the post-COVID long haul type syndrome.
Sure.
And there's a whole list of symptoms now. People can read about this on the Frontline COVID website, FLCCC. These are all the frontline doctors. I've talked with these guys, consulted with them. I've had Dr. Pierre Corey. He's amazing. I've had him on my podcast to talk about this. And there's a whole list now. So hair loss is certainly one of the symptoms. We've seen a lot of women come to me, you know, post COVID, whether that was vaccine induced or natural infection. And they say, hey, everything got worse after COVID. And some of that is due to mast cell activation. Some of it's related to histamine. We do believe there's a couple of different things that go haywire with the immune system. But like all pathogens and toxins, we can work on this and improve it. So in some cases, we're using ivermectin to work on binding to either the spike protein from the injection or natural infection if it's a long haul case. And in that conglomerate of symptoms, hair loss is usually the least concern, meaning there's usually more things like exercise intolerance, shortness of breath, chest pain, extreme brain fog, terrible anxiety or depression. Just they're out of it. They're really spacey and their hair's falling out. So usually I try to prioritize, hey, what's the biggest symptom? Okay, you can't even get off the couch. Well, let's get you off the couch first. Then we're going to like work on this hair loss piece. But yeah, it's a real big problem.
And also, I mean, let's roll it back because, you know, a lot of people try to do all this on their own, Dr. Google, Dr. Nutritionist. So what would you say is the importance of working with a, you know, qualified practitioner?
Well, you're going to save time and money in the long run. Yeah, you'll spend some money on labs and consults, but you're not going to go to Mount Everest and try to hike it yourself. You're going to die if you don't have a guide to help you and deal with the loss of oxygen up there in that thin atmosphere. You really want a Sherpa to kind of help show you the way. Like, this is the path. I've already blazed this trail for you. You can follow this path to success and we could get you to the top of the mountain if that's what you want. So a practitioner who's already done this 1,000 or 2,000 times, they've already blazed the trail. They know exactly how to get you there. It may be a little different than Sally or Johnny or Betty. There could be three different avenues that all get you to the same finish line. You know, for this lady, it could be H. pylori parasites. For this lady, it could be all thyroid antibodies. It's all Hashimoto's related. For this lady, it's hormones and mold toxicity. So if you have someone who is a specialist, but they're also generalist, meaning they can look in all these different avenues and departments that we brought up today, you know, that person's, they're worth the money.
Right. And I think you'll relate to this because one of the whole purposes of this summit is to just explain to people that, you know, hair comes from the inside out and we can fix it from the inside out. Whereas the billion-dollar hair industry, they do just what conventional medicine does. They give you the quick fix, you know, the fancy hairstyles and, you know, topicals and so forth to make it look better, or even hair extensions, which are very, very prevalent now, but it's just covering up, you know, it's just covering it up. I mean, men don't really care. They just shave their head. But at the end of the day, none of this gets to the root cause. Yeah. And everything you explained today gets to the root cause and just blows that door open. So how does this frustrate you or make you happy that we're having this discussion?
Well, you know, you see that these topicals, they've become really popular and trendy now. I mean, like back when I was a kid, you know, Rogaine was like all the rage, right? You'd see these creams and stuff and you picture it as just something that these old guys were doing, right? And now, I mean, I see guys in their 20s, there's all these new like online sites There was one called Keeps that got real popular. Have you heard of Keeps?
No.
I think it's spelled K-E-E-P-Z. Let me see. Or maybe it's with an S. And this is not a shout out at all. This is just something I've seen. Yeah, Keeps, K-E-E-P-S.com. Like keep as in keep your hair. And they're selling all these like thickening shampoos and thickening this. And then they have this topical finasteride and minoxidil type product. So it's $40 a month. And it just says combines two powerful hair loss products in one complete formula. And it talks about increasing blood flow to the hair follicle, talks about blocking the production of DHT. So maybe I'm okay with that. I don't know. You might know more than me. I don't know a ton about those drugs, those medications, but I'm seeing a lot of guys that are coming into me with a lot of side effects from those.
Yes. So, the side effects with finasteride is they lose their sex drive and some of them don't even get it back.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Rogaine, if you stop Rogaine, most people don't, they lose all the hair they grew.
Oh God.
It's a lifelong sentence with Rogaine, really.
Is it really? Wow.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot of erectile dysfunction issues, just completely dead sex drive. These guys that come in and say, hey, everything was fine until I got on this hair loss, whatever, cream, topical. Yeah. And now I've got no sex drive. I'm exhausted. Some of them talk about gaining belly fat. Now it's hard for me to blame it and say, oh, well, it's all that. But I think it's a piece of it. But ultimately, like you said, we're not looking at what drove all this. So I can't say I'm opposed to those because I'm not a pharmacy guy. I don't know enough about those. Like if I was desperate and miserable, would I try it? Maybe, but gosh, I would certainly want to do a workup on myself too to figure out what's under the hood here because it's not a cream deficiency.
No. And that's another reason when I lost all my hair, all the practitioners said there was nothing I could do except put on these creams or take these medications. And even that, they're saying it might not work. And I knew at the end of the day that my body was out of balance. And again, that's another reason for the summit, just to give people options and hope. But if they get to the point where their scalp hair follicles scar over because they wait too long, then it's nearly impossible to grow back your hair.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You asked, was I frustrated? Yeah. I'm always frustrated with the conventional system in every department. You know, the way they treat heart issues, the way they treat brain issues, cognitive decline, the way they treat blood pressure problems, the way they treat anxiety and mood problems and fatigue. Yeah. I mean, I'm frustrated with the whole system. But when people tune in to this other way that you and I are talking about, and people really vibe on that, and they call me and they're like, hey, I've listened to you talk about stuff like this for 5 years. Like, I'm totally in it and I'm seeing progress. Then it makes it all worth it. It's like, we can't fix everybody. You know, I had a friend come over this morning that, you know, relatively new friend that I'd met and wanted to take him out on some bikes and go ride in the forest together. It's not even a sunny day. And the guy gets out of the truck and starts spraying the most toxic sunscreen on himself. And I was like, do I even get into this today? And I was like, you know what? I don't even feel like it. So I'm just going to let him live in his little world. And I just told him, hey, you don't need that. You're not going to get burned today. And I just let it go. So try to save people that are willing. And
sure,
so if you have family members that you want to share this with, do it. But ultimately, you got to worry about yourself. You can't try to convert everybody. So I just do the best I can and take care of my family and my kids and my wife. And I try to put my little dent in this.
Well, you should put a big dent, especially with your podcast. Thank you for sharing that education
with the world.
And just making people aware of what functional medicine is and that we really can get to the root of it. So
yeah. One last thing here is, you know, what I'm seeing a lot of are conventional medical doctors, MDs, that are now going functional because they know they could potentially get out of their insurance practice. They might be going to all cash practices, et cetera. But I'm seeing a lot of these guys that are not practicing real functional medicine. And what I mean by that is they may run a blood panel that's no more advanced than the typical blood panel they ran as a family physician. And now they're running it with another patient that's cash and they're calling it functional medicine. And so you really need to vet these people and make sure they know what the heck we're talking about today, these type of tests, these type of biomarkers, because if they don't and they're not producing regular content, videos, podcasts, et cetera, flexing their clinical muscle like you and I are doing today, then I don't think they're suitable for you. Because what I'm seeing now are these practitioners that went to the medical doc that turned functional. And I look at this quote functional workup and it's garbage. Like they call themselves functional medicine. And they didn't even.
Well, they might have taken one class and called themselves a functional medicine practitioner.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So I just want to call that out because that's a part that's getting frustrating for my job too. Is that like I could be compared to a functional MD. I'm not an MD, but I could be compared to them, and they're not running half of what we're running, and they're not looking at a fraction of what we're looking at. So just make sure you're vetting these people. And if you're having to beg these practitioners to run the testing that I'm describing today, they're not the right ones. You should not be asking your practitioner for the labs. The practitioner should be telling you what you need based on your symptoms and issues.
Evan, you're so right. And when I went through the training, at least to the Institute of Functional Medicine, we had these round tables. And you know that functional medicine is like 80, 90% nutrition anyway. But at these roundtables, these doctors are just like clueless. They just don't have the education through their medical school to even wrap their arms around the fact that you can get to the root of this through nutrients. And anyway, it was interesting.
For sure. I know. I'm sure we could rant on it all day. But the point is that I'm seeing people that are now bringing labs to me and it has a doctor on the paperwork who ran it. And I'm like, oh, what did Dr. So-and-so say about this? Oh, well, they don't know what to do with it. They ordered it for me because I heard about it on a podcast. I told them to order it and they ran it and now they don't know what to do with it. And now I'm here with you. I'm like, well, why'd they run it in the first place? They just need to be upfront and tell them, hey, I don't know what to do with these. So I'm sorry. But I also, you know, I'm trying to put my dent in the world with that too. So I do have several different functional medicine training courses. I've got over 1,000 students in my school. We call it Functional Academy of Medicine and Epigenetics. So that's a school where regular health seeker folks and practitioners can take it and they can enroll and learn how to run and read these labs and interpret them the way I do to make a protocol. And then I have a Confident Coach program, which is specific to practitioners to help them get into online practice if that's what they want to do. So I do have more like course education if people want to get geeky. And then I do offer one-on-one consults, still do clinic a few days a week. So evanbrand.com has everything. The podcast is there. That's all free. There's 10 years worth of episodes there. So if people want to learn more, that's where they can go.
Okay. Well, we wrap it up with that. Anywhere else they can find you?
I do a lot of these events. So I appreciate the opportunity to be with you. This is great. I've probably done maybe 30 to 50 different events across Health Means and some of the other platforms for summits. So I love doing this. I love trying to bring these ideas to a wider audience because what I'm telling you is a little less attractive than others. And what I mean by that is I can't just make it the magnesium miracle. And like there's a whole hour on just how magnesium is going to change your life. Sure, I love magnesium, but it's not that easy. So what I'm kind of selling you is this idea that like, hey, really, you've got to probably fix 10 to 15 things here to fully fix this issue. That's a little less attractive. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's more attractive. But from the outside looking in, I'm like, ooh, how do I tell them? We got to fix their basement. We got to fix their gut. You know, like it's a little harder than just here's this magic pill.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it's worth it. But it's worth it in the long run. You know, this is so you can be a better wife, a better mom, a better grandma. You know, you're better in every way because when you're fixing the hair, that's the clue that internally things are working better. So this does pay dividends in other departments of your life.
Right, right. When you fix, usually in my experience, when you fix someone's hair, you're fixing everything else. They're losing weight. Their skin's clearing up. They're, you know, I mean, it all works together. I mean, it's a holistic approach.
That's right.
Well, anyway, thank you so much, Evan, for being here today and sharing all your valuable information and expertise.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right. Well, don't miss the other experts on this summit, Healthy Body, Healthy Hair, The Truth About Hair Loss.
All right. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. I appreciate you all being here. For the last decade, it's been my goal and my pleasure to educate you, inspire you. And I learn all the time. I don't ever want to be perceived as the all-knowing, because I'm certainly not. As soon as you think you got something figured out, it pulls a fast one on you. So I just want to be a person continually evolving and adapting to the new challenges we face in the modern world. And I want to continue to help you thrive. So it is my ultimate goal for us all to lift each other up, help each other achieve optimal health. And it's more complicated than it's ever been. I'm sorry. That's the reality. Microplastics, endocrine disrupting chemicals in tap water. If you're in the airline business and you're breathing jet fuel, if you're in the medical facility and you're exposed to all sorts of superbugs, if you're in healthcare and you're being exposed to Clostridia and you're in a nursing home or a daycare or you're a teacher, I mean, you're a realtor. Literally every industry that you could be working in, operating in, you could be exposed to various things that could be knocking your health down. And so I don't say that to make you fearful. I don't say that to scare you. It's just the reality. I do this all day, every day. And it's been incredible to look at how each industry has its own issues that could affect you. Even someone in IT, where they're sitting at a desk all day and they're surrounded by signals affecting their mast cells, you know? So you can't dodge these things. You just have to improve and adapt yourself. So get some adaptogens in your system. Check out the Passion for Her tincture. Check out the Alpha Tonic for Men. If you have kids, consider my professional kids daily multi. It's all methylated. So MTHFR, genetic defects, whatever your child's facing, that is an incredible tool to help support them and give them the best outcome. So thanks for supporting the show and the mission. VIP ship is the coupon code. You can use that to get free shipping on your order. If you need help clinically, evanbrand.com has everything you need. And I look forward to talking with you again really soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.